We have been talking about the Olympics, and I won't give you another Olympic story to start off the talk today, because that was the whole point of the children's story. I thought it was rather inspiring, the story of Derek Redmond and his father. One of the things that, to be an Olympian, obviously you have to meet a standard, right? That's why they have Olympic trials. Last week, there was a lady here who slipped me a note after the service, and she said, "My granddaughter is running in the 1500 meters tonight. Read her blog." So I started Googling her, and it was an amazing story. This young gal who's a Christian, follows Jesus, and was competing in the Olympics. It's just an amazing story. But to make the Olympic team, you have to meet a certain standard. It's not enough to be watching TV and say, "Yeah, I could do that. Honey, we got any more chips?" You know, that's not going to get you. That's not going to get you very far, right? You're not going to meet the standard that way. You're not going to get in the race. And we need persistence if we're going to follow Jesus. It's all good to say, "Yay, Jesus, I'll ask you into my heart. What's in it for me?" That's sometimes, unfortunately, how people are. The gospel is shared with some people. It's kind of this transaction. If you sign this line here in this booklet or put up your hand, then you get all these benefits. People don't really understand. It's not adequately explained to people. When we follow Jesus, we change teams. We switch allegiances. We put on basically a new jersey, a new identity. And God starts making us a new person from the inside out. And we say no to the old way of life we used to live that was self-centered and self-preoccupied and self. And we start following someone else. We start out on a race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a marathon of marathons of marathons. Sometimes it seems like it's an uphill marathon all the time. But we're encouraged in the book of Hebrews to keep at it. Last week, in the scripture reading, in the lectionary, we read all about, from Hebrews 11, all about people in the Bible, especially, well, the Old Testament, stories of faith. By faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Abel did this. By faith, Jacob did this. And it lists all these people, and then a whole bunch of people we don't even know who they are. They're kind of the no-names of faith. But they suffered greatly, but they hung in there following Jesus and obeying God. Now, we're going to pick up the story in Hebrews chapter 12, because the first word, what's the first word up there? You know, when you read the Bible, if you read therefore, you should figure out what the therefore is there for, right? So the therefore is therefore this. Paul is saying, the author is saying, all these people have gone on and followed God. They had hard times, but they persevered and they followed God no matter what. Therefore, the author says, since we're surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let's run the race too. Let's strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. He's using Olympic sporting imagery to say, God is inviting us on a marathon of hope, really, if you want to echo what Terry Fox did so many years ago. It really is a long-distance journey with Jesus. Now, most marathoners do not run like a sprinter, right? Smart marathoners don't run like that. They don't just spurt and then quit. They know it's a long-distance haul. And when we follow Jesus, when we put on that new jersey and that identity with him, when we turn away from our old life, we start out on a lifelong journey, a lifelong race. It's not so much, we're not competing with other people. We're really competing with the sin and a society that doesn't welcome the Christian faith and all these spiritual forces that we talked about earlier. We have opposition. It's not primarily people, and we're not competing. We're not competing with each other. Say, well, I read the Bible for 3 hours today. Oh, I only read the Bible for two. It's not a competition like that, okay? Some foolish people parade around and saying, ha, they give the impression that they're kind of above it all and succeeding in the Christian race, and they intimidate everybody else. It's often, not always, it's often a charade. We're not competing with each other in this race. We're just trying to get there. In fact, we're not competing, we're cooperating. We're helping each other out. And we'll get to that in a minute. So we're surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. All those folks who have gone on before us. All the people that have followed Jesus. It's a bit like, think of it as a spiritual relay race. They've finished their lap. And they're waiting, and they're cheering us on. When you watch the swimming relays, do you remember I was talking about Penny Oleksiak last week? And she was a part of one of the medals she got was for swimming a relay. And the anchor leg, the tail end person, you know, the other three swimmers finish. And what do you think they're doing on the side of the pool? They're not lounging around ordering a daiquiri or something like that. They're on the edge of the pool cheering on their teammate. Come on, Penny. Come on, Penny. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. That's how it is with this great crowd of witnesses. They know what it's like. They know the hardships of honoring God. And they, imagine them cheering us on. So somewhere in this great crowd of witnesses, Abraham's going, oh, that was a tough one, Rick. Hang in there, buddy. You can do it. That's what they're saying. And it should be of great encouragement to us just thinking about other folks that have gone on before us. Even the people, I was thinking this week of the people who started Elam Chapel. It used to be the Ellis Street Mission, right? Where up where the West End Cultural Center is now, on Ellis Street, and they had a vision for reaching out to new immigrants coming to Winnipeg. And the folks that started that, I wonder what they would say if they showed up this morning for service. Oh, things have changed a bit, maybe. But Jesus is still Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's good news. That doesn't mean that Jesus is boring. He's consistent. And he reaches out to broken people who need him. And that's the business that we're in, making disciples, helping people run in this race of faith. It would be fascinating to meet some of the folks who had the original vision for beginning Elam Chapel, those folks who have gone on before us. It would be fascinating to have a conversation with them and invite them here to be with us and to swap stories. So think of the race. Other people have gone on before us. There's really three parts to a race, right? There's the preparation, there's the perspiration, and there's the celebration. So as part of the preparation for running this race, the author says, let's get rid of everything that slows us down. Everything that slows us down. You don't run a marathon in a three-piece suit. You'd be very stylish, but it wouldn't be helpful. You kind of strip down to something lightweight and breathable, and you take a minimum amount of weight with you on the journey, right? Anything that would potentially slow you down. And especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Wouldn't it look foolish? Can you imagine a marathoner starting off with his track pants down around his ankles or his shoes tied together? Like, how are you supposed to do that? And that's the idea that the author is trying to get across. some of these things slow us down, especially sin trips us up. Let's get rid of that. Let's choose to walk away from that. A couple of years ago, when I first came to Elim, I asked for some audience response in a sermon, and I asked you, what holds us back from following Jesus wholeheartedly? And I wrote down, it was a really significant morning, and I wrote down all a list of 17 or 18 or 20 things that people came up with. And here are some of them. Fear, pride, fear and worry, rage, anger, temptation, control issues, guilt, fear of letting God down, depression, lifestyle choices, our past, peer pressure, busyness, loss of relationships, money matters, money issues, brokenness, job concerns, being comfortable, lack of understanding the claims of the gospel. I was alluding to that earlier. Lack of faith. Wrong expectations of ourselves, God, and others. All these things can hold us back from following Jesus wholeheartedly. Some of them would fall into the category of deliberate sin. Some of them are just stuff, baggage, that Jesus invites us to leave behind. If you're going to run a long-distance race, if you're going on a significant journey, you need to jettison everything that's not absolutely essential. Absolutely. We had some friends, we had dinner with some friends this week, and they went camping on the Manterio Trail last weekend. They had to hike about 10 kilometers to their campsite. Did they take any extra stuff? No. At least not the smart ones. We found out later, it was kind of fun, because there's a newly married husband and wife, and we found out that somehow the husband was carrying a lot more stuff than the wife. But she had a really good pillow. They'll sort that out later. I thought that was a great story and very shrewd. But when you start out on a long journey like that, you don't carry anything extra. My goodness. One of the first canoe trips that Luann and I went on, a 7-day canoe trip, we, on our way out, we encountered this group of people carrying lawn chairs and guitars. And now, you know, when you portage a canoe, you turn it upside down and carry it. That's the way you do it. They were dragging their canoe full of stuff over the rocks, leaving very colorful stripes of green and red paint on the rocks. I don't know how they made out. I don't know how far they got. I'm just glad we were going in the opposite direction. You don't start out the Christian race with a bunch of junk and stuff dragging you down. And this is some of the stuff that will stop us from following Jesus. We'll talk about that. We'll pray about that at the end of the service, jettisoning this junk. But for now, I want you to think about this. How do we do this? How do we run this race? We keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame. And now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. So the preparation, we jettison everything that's unnecessary and going to hold us back and get in the way. Even a good thing. A good thing can be the enemy of the best. So our priority is Jesus, right? And our relationship with him. We talked about that last week. Our focus is on him. And now the perspiration part comes. How do we finish the race? We keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion. He endured the cross. He disregarded the shame. In the Roman world, in the New Testament times, when you crucified someone, you didn't crucify, you could not crucify a Roman citizen who had a certain status. Crucifixion was a way of getting rid of the losers of society. Slaves, low-grade criminals, those people were put to death on the cross and tortured to death. Often it would take days for them to die. And they were put on display as a reminder that the Romans were the boss. They knew how to terrorize their own people, and nobody messed with the authorities, or they paid the ultimate price. It wasn't just a tremendously painful way to die. It was the ultimate in shame. That's what you would do with the dregs of society. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. He endured that shame. In fact, he didn't just endure it. He disregarded it. He says, can't stop me. These people are worth it. Jesus thought that each one of us here was worth dying for. How many people in your life do you have that would possibly even think about dying for you? Especially if they really knew who you were. Would they die for you? Now is not the time for a show of hands. Think about that. Jesus endured the cross, and in fact, he disregarded the shame. He didn't think it was insignificant. He just went for it, and he finished the race. And now, as a result, he's seated at the place of honor beside God's throne. We'll get to that in a minute. But the author is saying, because Jesus finished this race of life, and he finished it well, he knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be tempted and go through every possible circumstance that we go through. He knows what that is like. So we keep our eye on him as we run life's race. This fellow in the yellow shirt is a pace bunny. When you run a marathon or half marathon in Winnipeg, the organizers of the race recruit volunteers called pace bunnies. You'll see a number on this gentleman's bib. It says, or he's holding up a sign that says 4:15. That means he's going to run the race in 4 hours and 15 minutes. He's got it timed. He's an experienced runner. And if you want to finish the race in 4 hours and 15 minutes at that pace, you stick with that pace bunny. Because I'm not a runner, I had to do some research this week, and I talked to our daughter, Esther, who's run some half marathons in the city, and she said the first race she ever ran, she ran right alongside a pace bunny. It was very encouraging because this guy was running along and chatting with the runners and encouraging them as they went, and she knew that if I can just stick with this guy, I'll finish at the time that I'm going to meet my goal. And not just finish the race, but I'm going to get it. And in fact, in the last kilometer, she started running faster than the pace bunny so she could beat the time that her goal was. And I remember watching her at the finish of the race going, "Go, honey, go!" We were cheering her on. It was a great crowd of witnesses cheering. It's kind of fun. I know the marathon is a pain on Sunday morning. It often ties up traffic. And we warn you, be careful, the marathon's on. But if you have a chance to ever watch it and just stand on the side and just cheer people on, it's really encouraging and it's inspiring. But Pace Bunny is there to help people meet their goal of finishing the race. And if you need help, you keep your eye on the Pace Bunny so you finish. Jesus is like our Pace Bunny in the race of life. That's why the author says, keep your eyes on him. He'll talk to you. He'll encourage you. He's already finished the race, but he is with us in this race. So don't be discouraged. And keep in mind that when Jesus ran his race, yeah, he endured all kinds of things, all kinds of painful opposition and desertion by his friends, all kinds of hard things. Why? So he could finish the race. And the Bible says, now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Right up there on the top of the podium. Talk about a gold medal. He's right there. And by his authority, anyone who is adopted in his family has a place waiting for them on the podium as well. And he's got a medal with our name on it saying, come on, finish the race. Be with me. It's not about self-effort. It's not about us summoning up enough strength that I will be a good person, I will keep all the commandments, I will do all this. It's allowing Jesus to change us from the inside out, to surrender our will, to say, Jesus, all these things are tripping me up. They're holding me back. It might be sin. It might be other things, other distractions. Jesus, I put all that stuff aside so I can follow you. That's what it's about. Think of all the hostility that Jesus endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. These two words, weary and give up, are used by Aristotle, a Greek philosopher, to describe winners that are just collapse at the finish line, or winners who collapse and quit before they finish. So don't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. What the author is saying, there are some days when you feel like you're going to expire and it's just about going to kill you, but you haven't died yet. Hang in there and follow Jesus no matter what. So there's preparation for the race. There's definitely perspiration in the race. But at the end of the race, celebration. The bottom line is, friends, Jesus will give us the strength to endure what he endured so we can finish the race of life well. He's with us. Day to day, he's with us. Let's pray. As I start to pray, I'm going to encourage you either now or this week to make a list of the things that are entangling you and stopping you from running this race well. And maybe one of the things that was mentioned on that PowerPoint slide, it may be something else, but we need to take some honest inventory of ourselves. Say, Lord, what is it that's stopping me from running this race of life well? In the power of your Spirit, not my own ambition and not my own self-effort, but what is in the power of your Spirit? Let's just take a moment to think about that. Ask God to show you, give you some ideas. Jesus, in your name and in your authority, we pray against anything that is holding us back from running the race of life well. They're deliberate sins or distractions, other things getting in the way of us focusing on you and keeping pace with you. I pray that you make that very clear to us. And Lord, I pray you would give us the grace and strength and yes, the endurance to follow you and to run life's race well. We pray for your grace and truth to fill our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.